In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last two Sundays, we talked about the backstory behind Psalm 50. This Sunday, we're going to begin to discuss what it actually means. Psalm 50 is the most frequently repeated psalm we have in our liturgical cycle, as well as in our private prayers. We use it at the comp line, the midnight office, Matins, the third hour, and the deacon actually, or the priest, if there's no deacon, when they sense at the sixth hour, they secretly say it, and they say it again at the cherubic hymn. And then there are just countless private prayers and also occasional services where the 50th psalm is repeated. And the reason why it's repeated is because it teaches us what it means to repent, and really repentance is the key to our accessing God's grace. And so this is one of the most important things that we could come to understand. The psalm begins with, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy, and according to the multitude of thy compassions, blot out my transgression." There are three words in this first verse that in various translations are translated as mercy. In this case, two of them, the word mercy is used, but in other translations, the third one's also translated as mercy. The first word is Hanan, which is where we get the word Hannah. And this word is probably the one that's the most direct parallel with what we mean by the word mercy. It's when a superior person who doesn't have to do it chooses to be gracious to someone who needs it. And then the third word, which in the translation that we use is translated as compassions, is raham. And there's a version of that word that also means womb, and so it gives you some idea of the meaning of that word. So compassion and mercy are certainly related, but I think compassion is probably a better translation of this. But the one in the middle that's translated as great mercy is the word hesed. And in the King James and in other translations, it's translated as loving kindness. And that's because it's a word that doesn't easily translate into English because it means more than just mercy, which is why in the Septuagint it's not just translated as mercy, it's translated as great mercy. Hesed is God's love for his people, and it's a love that God has for us regardless of anything that we could give God back. But it's also a word that's used in the Old Testament in terms of human relationships. We find this in the story of Ruth. In the story of Ruth, Ruth's love for her mother-in-law is described as hesed. If you know the story, Naomi and her husband and their two sons went into the land of Moab because there was a famine in Bethlehem where they were from. And while they were there, Naomi's husband died and both of her sons died. But before they died, they both had married Moabite women. And Ruth had heard that there was food back in Bethlehem, and she decided it was time to go back, but she had left with much and was coming back with nothing. So she told her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your parents. I don't have anything to give you." And one daughter-in-law did exactly that. But Ruth said, "Where you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people." Ruth didn't owe Naomi anything. And for that matter, Naomi didn't really owe her anything. But there was a love between the two of them, and Ruth showed that love. Well, that's a faint human reflection of the kind of love that God has for us. But God loves us infinitely more than that. So it's not as if God, when we sin, is just looking for the nearest excuse to have the floor drop from out from underneath us and have us go straight to hell. God loves us that much that he wants to save us. You could also translate hesed as faithfulness, And I should point out that if you're in the books of Maccabees, the Maccabean fighters were often referred to as a Hasidim, and that's related to that word because they were the faithful. They were the ones that were obeying God even when it wasn't easy. God loves us that much. And so even when we sin, God wants to forgive us. And our acknowledgement of our sin and our repentance is the key that unlocks that door. So he's not looking for an excuse to send us to hell. He's looking for the means to save us. God's faithful love and his great mercy doesn't waver and it doesn't vary. The variableness is whether we will open the door to him by acknowledging our sin and open our hearts to receive that great mercy and to be cleansed of our sins. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Like the first verse, these words are basically repeating the same thought, which is a common theme in Hebrew poetry. But we all know what it's like to be dirty and in need of being cleansed. And when you're dirty, you feel yucky. And if you're around someone who's dirty, they feel yucky to you. It makes human relationships very difficult. Well, when we are dirty in terms of our sins, we become odious to ourselves and we become odious to God. And the question that most people who don't have God in their life have to ask is, what do you do with your guilt? Because you have all kinds of psychologists that will tell you how to deal with all kinds of emotional problems. People pay counselors thousands of dollars so they could sit and do what you can do in confession, which is to unburden your soul. But what a secular psychologist can't do is pronounce the forgiveness of God. And if you don't have faith in God, you're not going to experience the kind of cleansing of that guilt. And that's what we all desire. Guilt is one of the greatest things that weighs down people in our contemporary society. And there's a solution in Christ. He makes the way for us to be made clean. And how are we made clean? It's by the acknowledgement of our sins, which is what the next verse talks about. For I know mine iniquity, and my sin is ever before me. On the one hand, we know and we believe that if we confess our sins, as the Apostle John tells us in his first epistle, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But on the other hand, it's important for us to remind ourselves of our past sins, and God also, when he allows us to suffer the consequences of our sins in this life, aids us in keeping our sins before us in a way that helps us to guard ourselves. We need to remind ourselves of our past sins, not because we don't believe God has forgiven us, but because we don't want to repeat them. And we want to guard ourselves from falling into pride and thinking that we don't have anything to worry about. St. Paul warns us, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, that's something we should repeat to ourselves often. The prophet King David in this psalm is showing us the remedy to even the most serious wounds that sin can inflict upon our souls. And the key to is acknowledge our sin, to repent, and to ask God to be merciful and to cleanse us of our sins. There's no lack of love, there's no shortage of mercy, there's no limit on God's ability to cleanse us of our sins. The only limitation is our own willingness to face up to our sins, to ask for God's mercy, and to receive his cleansing, and then to guard ourselves and our hearts by remembering our weakness and our ever-present need for God's continuing great mercy. Amen.